You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. I think Eugene Peterson really does grasp the sense of this verse. You know this. Don't go to bed with another spouse. But don't think you preserved your virtue simply by staying out of bed. Your heart can be corrupted by lust even quicker than your body. Those leering looks you think nobody notices, they also corrupt. Matthew 5, 27 and 28. We've got a lot of challenges, gentlemen. We live in a sex-crazed world. That's a reality. Women in our day and time make it very difficult for us. We have sisters that make it very difficult for us. But they're not here. And right now, we have to face our responsibility. Christianity Today did a random sampling of their subscribers and report that 45% have acted inappropriately and 23% have been involved in sexual or extramarital affairs. Many a strong man has fallen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 12 is very appropriate for us to remember. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. The brother that concerns me the most is the one who says, I'll never struggle with that. If you say that, you're a fool. You're naive. You're self-deceived. Number one point that I want you to get this morning from the text that we just looked at, your brain is your major sex organ. It really is. Science says that, and Jesus said that before science said that. Two medical doctors, Joe S. McElhaney and Frieda McKissick Bush, wrote a book called Hooked. Now, it deals, their thrust of their book is dealing with the concept of casual sex among teenagers, but there's science in there that goes across the age spectrum. And they point out that today we have the scientific information and the technology to look at the brain, and we know what's happening when a person is aroused, when they look at pornography or they're flirting. We know all these things. And the fact of the matter is, they concur with Jesus. Sex happens first up here. And gentlemen, you better figure that out. If you haven't figured that out already, you better figure it out. If we don't get that right, we've lost the battle. Matthew 5:27 or 28 makes the point, if we look to lust, there has got to be intentionality. I don't want to just heap guilt on you this morning, but if we look with intentionality to lust, we've already committed adultery in our heart. Now, I trust that you understand we're not talking about that blood pump that resides within your chest. We're talking about the mind, the brain, that spiritual part of man, and I'll be using all those terms interchangeably this morning. And because your brain is a sex organ, doesn't it make sense that the wise man would say, keep your heart, or I like the translation that says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Proverbs 4 and verse number 23. Protect your heart, because that's where everything happens. Well, do we understand the nature of lust? Do we even have a definition for lust? If you look it up in some lexicons, you might find this idea, to set one's heart upon a thing, and that's good. I like to define things by extremes. If we use a scale from 0 to 10, and we'll begin on the low extreme, 0, you have absolutely no sexual temptation in your life whatsoever. If that describes you this morning, quickly check to see if you have a pulse, okay? I mean, seriously, guys. And I don't know why it is we think I'm the only one that struggles with this. Listen, if you've struggled with sexual temptation in a big way, we've all struggled with sexual temptation, but if you have fallen, I'm very sympathetic to brethren, but I'm a little bit irritated by the brother who's jumped off the curb into oncoming traffic, and he said, nobody understands. That's not true. And there's not a brother in this room that can look down their nose at another brother, because we all struggle, some of us to greater extents than the others. And the purpose of this lesson is to help us come to that reality, but also to deal with this struggle. Let's go to the other extreme. One extreme is no sexual temptation whatsoever. And if you're breathing this morning, that does not include you. The other extreme on a scale of 0 to 10 would be 10.5. You are constantly obsessed with sexual excitement and sexual gratification. Most of us, if we were to plot ourselves, we'd sort of be like this, wouldn't we? And there's times when we might be doing better, and then there's times like this. And listen, guys, we have got to fight this, and we have to deal with this reality. Let me give you a couple of other definitions or a couple of thoughts on this. About 40 years ago, I was in a gospel sitting in a congregation where Brother Charles Hodge was conducting a gospel meeting. I was 19 years old, and Brother Hodge, in a very delicate way, tried to deal with this subject in a mixed audience. And he said, gentlemen, if you're walking down the sidewalk and you notice a beautiful flower, that's not a sin. But if you become obsessed with that flower and that flower begins to make you nervous, you better scram. Well, there was only one problem with that definition. At 19 years of age, almost every flower made me nervous, okay? Let me tell you something, 59 is easier than 19, but I'm not dead. I'm not dead. And I have to be on guard today. And I thank God that the Scripture addresses this. Let me say this to you, brethren. Willpower, please listen to me all the way through. Willpower is really overrated. It really is. Not just in this subject, but in many subjects, willpower is overrated. Why do you think our brother Paul would say in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 22 to Timothy, flee youthful lust? Somebody says, no, I'm strong enough to handle it. You know, and this woman's hugging on me and patting me on the back and telling me that I'm better than grape nuts and everything. Hey, I'm running. I better run and you better run too. Brother Marshall Keeble, or at least this, I believe this is attributed to him, and this will be a loose paraphrase of what he said. He said, a bird may land on my head, and I can't help that, but I don't have to let him build a nest there. There are going to be thoughts that come to your mind, and there's going to be things you see that you would rather not see. And I could spend a lot of time this morning on the problems that women in our society have and sisters have. And matter of fact, I had a brother make a suggestion to me, and somehow I'm going to try to deal with it. He said, you need to preach a lesson on entitled Sisters, Things Your Brothers Want You to Know But They're Afraid to Tell You. That's true. But I want my brothers to know they're not alone. We all deal with this. In Proverbs chapter 7, there's some fatherly advice. I won't have time to read the whole text, but you can open it up and you can jot notes down. Incidentally, this afternoon, if you're on Facebook, I'll post my notes up, probably be later this evening. I'll post my notes on your daily 180 on Facebook, and there's some cards up here with the name, your daily 180 on Facebook, and I'll post the notes there later this evening. In chapter 7, 6 through 9, he sees a young man. And he's simple. And he begins to pass by the street of one who is very promiscuous. She's an adulterous woman. He went the way of her house. He did this in the dark. He was playing with sin. he was playing with danger. And the question comes up, where is her house and who is she? You see, at 59, it is easier than 19. But if I pass by her house, I can be in trouble. What am I talking about? Where is her house and who is she? It might be that cubicle over in the corner of the office where that secretary is. I mean, she's drop-dead gorgeous. And she uses the most flattering words. Let me tell you something, guys. I think for a lot of guys, that is the biggest thing. When they, you're so smart. And funny, too. Okay? If she's there, you know what? Don't just avoid her cubicle. Let me tell you something. I know some gospel preachers, because they wanted to avoid their house, they moved to a different congregation. That's tough. You may have to get another job. Your purity, I'm not saying you have to, but you may have to. It's that important. It might be the internet porn. She might be that internet porn in your closet when nobody's watching. It could be HBO in your living room. It could be that drop-dead gorgeous instructor at the gym. You never thought you were interested in yoga until you saw her, right? What's up with that? You know, brethren, I'm just going to tell you this because I'm sharing my heart, okay? I struggle mightily. I'd be embarrassed if there was a way to show my heart up here and show the struggles I've had. I'd be terribly embarrassed. So I'm not saying this to say how holy I am or anything. I had to give up my gym membership. I mean, I couldn't handle it. I had really enjoyed going to the gym. And you might think, well, how, you know, immature. I guess I am. I just couldn't handle it. And you know, that may be where her house is for you. It could be the coworker that's not that attractive. I mean, she's not ugly, but she's got the listening ear. Oh, I understand. Yeah, you got to talk to somebody. Man, you've got it really tough. And let me tell you what goes hand in hand with that is the intimate text conversations. You don't have to drive by her house. You can send her a text. And she's always ready to listen. You don't need to be involved. I'm going to use this word intimate. You don't need to be involved in intimate texting with someone other than your spouse, maybe a brother. And when I say intimate, I'm not talking about dirty language. I'm talking about sharing your heart and becoming emotionally attached to someone other than your wife and saying, I'm just struggling so much. I'm so blue right now, and the kids are doing this, and my wife doesn't see. I'm struggling with time here. I'm almost out of time. You got to listen, guys. The person who thinks, you know, it's all right for me to be friends with other women, and she's just a good buddy. I told you before, you're a fool. No, you're an idiot. You cannot be buddies with a woman. Your wife needs to be your best friend. I'm not telling you have to be an enemy of women, but you're not going to be buddies with a woman. You're asking for trouble. You're setting yourself up. I've got to hurry. Verses 13 through 20, all five senses are involved: touch, smell, sight, hearing, and taste. All sorts of things are happening that we don't even know about. You must beware. Verses 25 through 27, I wanted to read this, but I've got much more I've got to cover. He tells you in 25 through 27, let me tell you where this leads to. It leads to hell. It leads you to hell. I'm amazed that people that tell me about risky behavior, they're involved in it. And why are you doing it? Oh, it makes me feel alive. It's living. No, it's not living. It's death. It is death. The wise man tells you this, but you know that's true yourself. It's death when we begin to live contrary to God's word. All right, quickly, some suggestions. These will be on my Facebook page later on. We need to use the good mind God has given us and exercise an act of will. All kinds of things are happening on a chemical level that we don't even understand, but we need to exercise an act of will. Remember God's standard. Ephesians 5, verse 3, I'm going to share with you the NIV. I think they really get the sense of this. Among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality among you. Not even a hint. Someone said, I don't care what people think. Then you're not living the Christian life. and you're also being foolish, there's not even to be a hint. Here are some good rules for you to follow. Your wife needs all your passwords, and she needs access to your phone and computer at any time. If your wife wants to borrow your phone, it's like, no, yours a problem. I worry about brothers, and I've seen this. They're constantly texting. I had a wife call me and say, you know, I'm concerned. He's up at 1 o'clock in the morning texting. Well, there's a problem there, guys. And let me tell you something. You need to watch your heart, guard your heart with all diligence. Don't be alone with a woman who's not your wife, mother, grandmother, daughter, granddaughter. Just don't be alone with her. I mean, don't be alone with her. And you say, well, I know that's not the standard, but don't be alone with her. I wish I could talk more about that. Don't flirt. You don't need to flirt with anybody except for your wife and your granddaughter, all right? That's it. Your daughter, all right? If that flower begins to make you nervous, run for your life. All right, here's some important ones. Ask for help. James 5, verse 16, you're not alone. You're not alone. You're not the only guy that's ever struggled with lust. As a matter of fact, all of us, to one degree or another, have struggled with lust. Learn from experience. You can learn from experiences in the Bible. Learn from your own experiences. Manage your environment. This is so important, guys. Like I said, willpower is overrated. Set yourself up for success. You know, do whatever you have to. Don't be alone in situations where you can get on the internet. Don't be alone with that secretary. If you have to, you know, change your environment. Set yourself up for success, okay? Manage your thoughts. Here's one of the best pieces of advice that I ever received. A godly elder helped me with this. He said, you know, it's really hard to think about two things intensely at the same time. And, you know, there are times when I've had to just start singing a song and I'll go get a songbook. Again, I'm not doing this to say I'm holier than thou. Maybe I'm just saying I struggle mightily. And just do whatever you have to do to get your mind off of it. Don't let that bird build a nest on your head. Okay. I want to share this with you real quickly and then we'll be done. Romans 12 and verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I wish I could share this quote with you. It will be on the Facebook page. McElhaney and McKissick Bush, they talk about this. To me, this is exciting. It says God was right. The gospel can change people. Your brain is moldable from birth to death. You can change patterns and habits, and if you quit using certain things, they will deteriorate. And that counts with the negative stuff, too. We can transform ourselves by the renewing of our mind, our heart, okay? Now, I want to share this with you real quickly. I'm leaving here in just a moment to go do a wedding, and in about less than 2 hours, I will be saying these words of exhortation to the groom. And I'll close with this. Jacob, in a few moments, you will have the God-given or the God-ordained responsibility to exercise Christ-like servant leadership in your home. In Ephesians 5, we see that you will have the obligation to love Alicia just as Christ loved the church. Jesus died for the church, and to be pleasing to God, you must be willing to die for Alicia. Not just physically, but to any selfish desires. Your life must be exemplified by strong spiritual leadership. Brethren, I confidently say that every one of us here in this room must daily die to all those selfish desires that get in the way of our commitment to Jesus Christ. Thank you.